We're thrilled that you're able to join us today. My name's Beth LaBoyer, and I'm the Executive Director at CASA. Today we're presenting CASA Safe Opioid Toolkit and tips for successfully launching the program in your surgery center. I'm going to be providing some of our information today, and we're also thrilled to have Carrie Millsap, Dr. David Auerbach, and Dr. Michael Stumps join us today. They've been integral in implementing a successful opioid-sparing initiative at the Monterey Peninsula Surgery Centers, and they'll be sharing what they've learned through the process. Dr. David Auerbach is the board chair and medical director at Monterey Peninsula Surgery Centers. Dr. Michael Stutz is the vice chairman of the board at Monterey Peninsula Surgery Centers, and Carrie Millsap is the chief operating officer for Monterey Peninsula Surgery Centers. So I guess let's talk about how this all got started with putting this toolkit together. You know, why are surgery centers looking at putting a toolkit together? And this is just, this is a national crisis. 46 Americans die every day from overdoses from the use of opioids. And, you know, surgery centers really have a unique position because they're on the front lines of, you know, being able to provide education and, you know, ensuring, you know, the patient's pain management plan. And kind of a brief history of, you know, where we really got going with this tool is, gosh, back in the spring of 2019, Tara Vail, a CASA board member, and myself were invited to be part of this focus group with national ASC leaders talking about the opioid crisis. And I think when we started the dialogue, there was a lot of, oh, you know, surgery centers aren't dispensing or prescribing these medications. It's more of the surgeon, and, you know, they felt like they didn't have control on this issue. And then the more we got to talking about it, we realized that there's a lot of things that we could do as a surgery center industry to help the dialogue and discussion, and particularly with our medical staff as well, to help with the putting into the appropriate practices for opioid sparing. So that's where it all started. We put our thoughts together, and basically CASA kind of wanted to lead the way in getting this going through the ASC industry. So some of the things I kind of already talked about, we have this unique opportunity to educate our patients about, you know, not only before surgery, but after surgery about safe opioid use. We have, you know, dialogue with our surgeons about, you know, what is the appropriate pain management plan for the patients throughout their surgical process. And some of us work in pain clinics, and, you know, that's even a more complicated discussion. We can ensure that our ASC clinical team understands and follows the best practices. Sometimes we kind of assume in our day-to-day practices that, you know, that we're all, we all have the appropriate information, and, you know, the more that you can talk about this, you'll find the gaps or things that experiences, so that your clinical staff is on top of things as well. And then it's this huge opportunity to publicly communicate that the ASCs are committed to the best practices. And so this pledge is one of those ways of demonstrating that surgery centers are committed to these safe practices. So, you know, the CASA board put a little subcommittee together to say, you know, how could we move this forward? And through some unique circumstances, we were able to partner with the California Society of Anesthesiologists. So we were able to bring our CASA Physician Board members along with the anesthesiologists. So we were able to get a huge physician buy-in, as well as our clinical and administrators on the committee. And so we were able to collectively work on this toolkit together. And the California Society of Anesthesiologists have already created a patient video on pain appropriate, you know, different modalities for pain therapy and, you know, use of opioids. So we were able to leverage that as well. All the materials in this toolkit are based on national kind of standards and the latest research, and we are utilizing organizations such as the AMA, the CDC, and the Health and Human Services. So all kind of standardized, nothing, you know, really new and created, but certainly something that you can, that there's some credibility behind it as well. And then CASA is wanting to promote this toolkit to the state and national ASCs, other regulators, and, you know, that the ASC industry is really taking this issue seriously and addressing it. So we're thrilled that you're interested in wanting to put these best practices into your surgery center. So today we're going to go over what the toolkit has in place, and then we're going to spend some Q&A time with the folks from the Monterey Peninsula Surgery Center that they can kind of talk about, you know, some of the challenges and successes and things that they've incurred to make their program successful. So the toolkit, basically it has a lot of education materials and things, tools available for you. So there is an office or a facility poster. There's a brochure for patients and caregivers. There's an opioid video for patients, and we're going to take a few minutes and watch that. There's the ASC pledge, which is kind of like the crux of the whole thing. And then, of course, a certificate and recognition for our ASCs that adopt the pledge and put it into practice. So the first tool is the facility or office poster. And this is all going to be print ready for you. And you can print this poster and utilize it the best way, you know, within your facility, posting it where you think it's appropriate, to educate not only your clinical staff, but your medical staff. Because as we talked about earlier, some of these issues are more from the physician perspective and their handling of the patient. But by having everyone really involved and understanding the issue, it creates great dialogue. So I won't go through all of the details on this poster, but it really talks about, you know, the areas about developing a pain plan with your patients, screening for high-risk patients, prescribing wisely, informing and education your patient and your their caregivers, and then exercising overdose and diversion prevention. So those are the key components, and this poster is just something, a tool that you can utilize to help get your staff engaged and your medical staff as well. We then have a brochure for your patients and their caregivers. This is worded in easily to understand language to kind of have to help your educate not only their patient, but those that are taking care of them about opioid, proper opioid use and safe use. And this is something that you can provide for your patients in their preoperative packet or maybe on site during surgery. You know, there's a variety of ways that you can utilize it, but it's an important tool to help educate the patients. Then we have the opioid video for patients, and we're going to just take a couple minutes to watch this video. It's relatively short. It's actually 2.5 minutes long, and the link is available on the CASA website. And not only is it in English, it's in Spanish. So let's go ahead and watch the video for a few minutes.
After a surgery, it's normal to feel discomfort and experience some pain. Within a few days, this typically subsides, and many patients make a full recovery without needing prescription drugs. There are many ways to safely control your pain. Often, you can manage your discomfort by applying cold or hot compresses, resting, or doing rehabilitative exercises, such as stretching and walking. Other strategies to treat pain include occupational and physical therapy, acupuncture, massage, music therapy, or even distractions that help you focus on other things such as a TV show or video. Sometimes your doctor will recommend over-the-counter medications like acetaminophen or ibuprofen. There are also interventional therapies that your doctor could administer, such as nerve blocks that quiet the nerves that are causing discomfort. It's important to talk to your anesthesiologist or pain physician about the best options for you. When patients have significant pain, opioid drugs are commonly prescribed because they're effective in relieving many different types of pain. Opioids attach to proteins on the nerve cells in the brain, spinal cord, and other parts of the body, blocking pain messages your body sends to your brain. Typically, opioids should only be taken for 3 to 5 days while initial healing occurs, and then you can transition to other non-opioid pain management strategies that do not have the same side effects or risk of dependence. By themselves, opioids may not fully control your pain, so it's important to speak with your anesthesiologist or pain doctor who can work with you to make sure your pain is under control through a personalized treatment plan. While opioids can be effective, they do come with risks and can be extremely addictive. The risk of dependence increases the longer you take opioid medication. If you or others notice any physical, behavioral, or emotional changes, you should talk to your doctor. If your doctor prescribes opioids to manage your post-procedure pain, you may receive a prescription for naloxone as well. Before going home, it's important to talk to your anesthesiologist or pain doctor about all of your prescriptions to make sure you know how to follow proper protocols. Make sure to store your opioids in the bottle or package they came in, out of reach from children, visitors, and pets. When they're no longer needed, take any unused medications to a drug take-back program or safe drop-off site instead of throwing them in the trash. Nearby take-back locations can be found at takebackday.dea.gov. If you do plan to throw them in the trash, the Federal Drug Administration recommends mixing the unused medication with coffee grounds, dirt, or cat litter in a plastic bag first. Pain relief is an important part of your recovery process, so be sure to talk to your anesthesiologist or pain physician to make sure you understand your personal treatment plan. Remember, it's normal to experience some pain after a procedure or surgery, but let your anesthesiologist know if your discomfort persists so you can work together to find safe and effective solutions to manage it.
So there you have the video, and it's just a great opportunity to educate your patients. Often, you know, because sometimes just reading a pamphlet isn't enough. Having that sensory where they can watch something is another great opportunity to educate them. So the other component of the toolkit is the pledge. And as I said earlier, this is kind of the crux of the whole thing with the toolkit in surgery centers. And basically, this is the pledge that you want to take to your governing body that you are going to adhere to these post-surgical opioid prescribing best practices. That's kind of a mouthful right there. And it's kind of difficult to read on the slide, but you'll have these tools. I'm going to go through them, but these tools are also all available on the CASA website. So the pledge has that you're going to develop a pain management plan in close collaboration with your patients that identify a variety of approaches, including non-opioid medications and non-medication therapies. I'm going through these quickly. Screening patients that are prescribed opioids for pain relief for risk and follow-up. Prescribing the lowest effective opioid dose for the shortest duration to manage patients' post-procedure discomfort. Educating patients on their rights, risk, and responsibility associated with prescription opioids. So things that we just talked about with the video and the pamphlets, et cetera. And then in accordance with California law, when appropriate, based on the patient's prescription levels or their unique risk factors, offer a prescription for an opioid antagonist like naloxone to counter the effects of the opioid overdose. So I know that's kind of a confusing area, and we're going to talk about that more in detail in a few minutes. completing all the mandated continuing medical education, the CMEs, on opioid prescribing, ensuring all and new and existing staff are trained annually in safe opioid practices, utilizing the CURES database to keep patients safe in California and across state lines, incorporating a physician attestation that they have prescribed opioids per the recommended guidelines, and include a patient attestation that they are aware of the risk of opioid use and misuse. And some of those, I think you might feel complicated, but there are some real avenues where you can implement this in your surgery center. And obviously, some of these are more directed at your medical staff, and some are more directed at your clinical staff. So again, it's a great way to provide teamwork in implementing this program. So that's the crux of the pledge. And then, how would you go about getting the recognition for putting this program into place? Well, you're going to have your governing body secure the signatures and sign them for the pledge. You'll submit them to us at CASA. You can either send them to me electronically or through our CASA PO box. And then, in turn, we'll send you an official recognition that you are actively part of this program. And here you can see the certificate that we've designed that you'll receive. And then you can proudly display this not only in your lobby or wherever, you know, you deem appropriate in your facility, but it's something that you can market on your website. And then we also have a digital badge that you can utilize on your materials as well. So you need to be proud that you've implemented this program and being able to share that you have done these things to provide safety for your patients and be implementing a successful program and taking this issue seriously. So I guess the question, where can you find the toolkit? So you're going to go to the CASA website at casurgery.org. You're going to log in as a member, and then you're going to go to Member Resources, and you're going to scroll down to the Safe Opioid Toolkit, and here's where you're going to find all the tools that we just went over, including the video in both English and Spanish. Along this, you are also going to find some links to some other resources that you can utilize, and we'll continually add to this as we expand the program and find some great materials that you can use in your centers. So we'll just quickly review how can you implement this, and then we'll spend some time with the Q&A. First of all, you're going to commit to the goal for your center to adopt this program. You're going to, hold some quick briefings with your team members, getting their buy-in. You're going to get the buy-in and signatures of your governing body. And then, you're going to implement and employ those best practices for safe opioid prescribing. Continuing to prioritize these discussions with your patients and caregivers, providing the toolkit brochure and show the video to your patients and caregivers, and then conduct quarterly team assessments to ensure you've got this ongoing commitment and follow through. And then, lastly, showcase your ASC's pledge and certificate of recognition and let patients know that you're following these best practices. So it's a great opportunity for your center and your community. So with that, I'm going to pull in the expertise of Carrie and Dr. Michael Stuntz and Dr. David Auerbach on, their experiences and how they were able to implement this program. So Dr. Auerbach, we talked about how Monterey Peninsula Surgery Center is ahead of the curve on implementing the opioid-sparing policy, and now you're rolling out this toolkit. Tell us how you're going about it.
Well, thanks. First of all, great presentation. Thanks for sharing that with everybody. As everyone knows, the opioid crisis has been in the news, whether it's we've been reading it, whether it's been in the news cycle, or whether we've we've been experiencing it either with as medical professionals or, unfortunately, through family or friends. It's been all over the news, all over North America. And research has shown that people thought this was maybe a chronic pain issue, but there's a paper out of JAMA a number of years ago showing that 1 in 10 patients who were not on opioid drugs prior to surgery became dependent on them afterwards. Now, this was a real eye-opener for me, and I think for a lot of surgeons, realizing how 10% of patients became habituated or addicted to opioids and had to be weaned off. So there's a huge number of opioids that are used in North America. I don't think we don't realize how, for various reasons we won't get into, but everyone's aware. And because of that, we thought as an institution we really had to address that. And how can we address that? And there's really, from a treatment point of view, because we're seeing patients in a more short-term acute method, it's not much, but it's more from a preventative point of view. So it was really talking about how we could prescribe as surgeons, how we could address the education for the healthcare professionals working at our center, and also educating the patients in terms of proper usage, and then also a diversion program, so if they have extra medications, what to do with them, how to dispense, et cetera. So because of that, we identified the problem, we researched it, developed the policy, and then at that point, we took it to our board, and that our policy really was education. We had pamphlets both for patients and for physicians and as to hand out, and then took it from there. So that's really was the basis of it. So ahead of the curve, I think we were maybe in terms of what we're doing here right now, but really it was such a buzz within sort of the news cycle within the healthcare, and we really felt it was something we had to address.
So, Dr. Auerbach, how are you guys meeting the physician attestation and the patient attestation requirements of the pledge?
Well, what we've done with have our pamphlets. That number one first of all, I'll talk about the physicians. So for physicians, number one, simply educating them. We have pamphlets for them, talking to them, and also in making that part of the credentialing process. So when they recredential or when they're newly credentialed, we have a part that says that they understand our policy. They understand how we want to implement it. As I said, those eight steps and how we implement it. From the patient point of view, it's made it pretty easy. We've just made it part of our discharge summary, so it may be something that may be addressed on the phone when we're doing a pre-op call, but more formally, when they're discharged, we talk about pain management, which is really part of the discharge instructions anyhow. Both nurses and surgeons are talking, healthcare professionals are talking to the patients, but we make it part of the hard copy of the chart that we can document that we've discussed and we've reviewed certain things. So that attestation is there, part of the patient's, surgery center relationship.
Perfect. So this will direct this one to Dr. Stent. Did you run into any challenges in getting the physicians to buy into this new policy?
I think the overwhelming response was positive by our physicians, and just like Dr. Auerbach was stating, it's in everyone's mind now, and we're making conscious decisions to reduce our use of opioids, but I think having the program in place has created a framework to really make it official and to codify how we're going to do it at our center and locally here in Monterey.
Did you receive any pushback?
I would say yes. I think there are some physicians who don't are just used to doing things the way they're used to doing things. And we all fall into the pattern of, well, I've been doing it for 20 years, so I know how to do it. But I learned myself quite clearly that there are better ways to do it. The state came in and made some changes in terms of how we can write prescriptions and how much we can give and antagonists that need to be prescribed at the same time. And so that has changed sort of how we do our prescriptions. And with that came some revelations that, wow, maybe I don't need to use so many narcotics. And on top of that, we have other non-narcotic ways, like you saw in the video, that you can reduce some of the need for pain medication if the total amount of pain is actually less. There were a few physicians that I think still overprescribe or become more dependent upon the opioids, but it's a process, and I think as we as their peers start to use less and less, I think the feedback helps a lot.
So, you know, you briefly mentioned, you know, the requirement about the antagonist, and that's been one of our questions that we're receiving from our members in the toolkit is about the naloxone. Can you talk about that? Give us a little bit of summary how that works.
Sure. Yeah, naloxone is an opioid antagonist, and just starting the first of this year, January 1st, 2019, State Bill AB 2760 came into effect, which basically states that if you prescribe a certain amount of narcotic, you have to consider using you also have to educate the patient and give them a prescription for naloxone or some alternative that's an opioid antagonist. And so the specifics are if it's 90 morphine equivalents, and there are plenty of calculators on the internet that you can use to look those up for specific drugs, but if it's 90 or greater morphine equivalents, you have to you have to prescribe an antagonist. The second part of that law states that if you prescribe a narcotic along with benzodiazepine, such as Ativan or Valium, lorazepam, diazepam, any of those drugs, that you have to give the patient education as well as give them a prescription for the antagonist. As an example, if you prescribe 6 Percocets per day, which is a common prescription, that would be 90 mil equivalents, or I'm sorry, morphine equivalents, exactly. So that would require a prescription for naloxone at the same time. And so a lot of our physicians out there probably still don't understand that requirement, and there's still some education going on it. And I didn't even really fully understand that a benzodiazepine with a narcotic requires the naloxone prescription. So I have to either add that in or change my prescribing habits.
Yeah, and like as you said, it's new, right? So I think this is a great opportunity to not only educate our ASC physicians, but our ASC staff to understanding that requirement. Dr. Auerbach, how is Monterey Peninsula Surgery Center meeting those requirements?
Well, really just by education and making sure that all physicians are aware of these prescribing. You know, it's amazing how many people are not aware. I know that with, at least in California, when they came out with cures, which really doesn't affect the surgery center per se, but just general prescribing of narcotics, they were pretty, I guess the word would be, out there in terms of presenting this and publicizing it to the public. However, with this new naloxone bill, it sort of snuck by almost. It really wasn't that advertised as such. So a lot of people aren't even aware of it, nor if they've heard of it, they think it's just for patients with really severe dependency issues or who prescribe a significant amount of narcotics. They don't realize it's patients who've either even had a history of abuse or even a small amount of someone's, you just give them a couple of Ativan. Then, which is a very common afterwards for muscle relaxation or for anxiety, you then have to do this. So, again, a lot of it is just really education through both our healthcare professionals, the nursing staff that are helping in the discharge, who are aware of this, as well as the surgeons.
It's interesting. So, you know, we kind of talked a lot about, you know, how we rolled that out with the medical staff. You know, how did you roll this out with your clinical team?
Well, we, after passing it at the board, having the pamphlets, we really had, we have a few sites. We would have meetings with our staff. We would present it. We had a little in-service that we presented to the staff. I had, from a point of view of physicians, we had letters that went out to the individual physicians and surgeons to tell them of this. We sent pamphlets to their offices so they could actually give these pamphlets to the patients in the pre-op setting. And so we really had a pretty good buy-in from all our nursing staff, and as Dr. Sun said, from the vast majority of our surgical staff.
Yeah, I would also add to that that the pamphlets were really helpful from a physician standpoint, because that's something you can just hand to the patient, and it has all that information in there and sort of helps them, gives the patient something that they can use to buy in.
Great. Did you guys experience any bumps along the way?
You know, I'm not trying to make it sound like we're perfect because we are far from it, but in this case, actually not that many bumps. I really had, as Dr. Sun said, there were, you know, a couple of surgeons who were sort of set in their ways, and we have to sort of gently say, well, this is where things are going nowadays. But that was few and far between. I think in general, it was really fairly smooth sailing. I think really because of the awareness. This has been around, whether you're reading about, all the different pharmaceutical companies and all that stuff in the news cycle, everyone's aware of it. So everyone sort of realizes, yeah, it's really not something new. We've got to do something about it. So everyone was, I think, very, really would buy in because they realized it was such a prevalent and important issue.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing, that we have plenty of people that were struggling to get them to sort of row with us, but I know everyone that has tried reducing their narcotics has had a pretty good experience with it. And so the barrier is just getting people to overcome their habits. And not once they try it, I think they universally have my experience, which is the patients actually do better and you have to deal with less side effects like a crazy patient or bad constipation or nausea, vomiting, all that.
That's great. I'm so proud of you guys' successes in taking the lead for your surgery center in implementing the components of this toolkit. I think at this time it would be great if we could open it up for questions, unless Carrie, Dr. Stuntz, Dr. Auerbach, do you have anything else to add before we open it up for questions?
No, I think it would be great to have some questions now.
Yeah. So at this So we'll put it into Q&A mode that April just did, and there'll be a queue for questions, or you can type in your questions as well. We've tried to cover the ones that have come up to me or to others on the team. I think the physician attestation was the big one, incorporating the patient attestation. And then, of course, the naloxone issue. So I'm sure, but I'm sure there's some other questions folks have.
I'm just wondering how patients have responded to these more proactive conversations about opioids. Has there been any sort of positive or negative tone, because obviously patients are reading the same media coverage as the rest of us, and I wonder how they've gone into those discussions and what their feedback has been.
If Dr. Stuntz or Dr. Auerbach, have you had any of your patients respond to you about the discussion on opioids?
Oh, yes, this is Dr. Stuntz. I would say that I have had a lot of experience with the patient reaction, and my experience has been patients fall into generally two camps. One would be patients who are fully on board with this. They're scared of narcotics. They're hearing what's going on in the news. They may have had friends, relatives, previous experiences that were negative, and they're all for it. And as long as you explain everything with it, that I think the patients buy in right away. There's a small minority of patients, and I would say these are patients generally that are not narcotic naive. They've had a lot of experience with the medical system and probably have had experience with narcotics before, or even have had episodes of dependency. And those patients, often it's very difficult to get them to buy into this sort of strategy because they're so used to having narcotics around, and they feel that that's the best way to address their pain. And even in those patients, I've had some successes in having them try different things and different approaches.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions in the queue? Well, it looks like we've covered all the questions, quite a bunch. Carrie, Dr. Auerbach, Dr. Stuntz, anything else you want to cover before we wrap up?
I think, Beth, this is Carrie. I just want to mention to the group on the line, don't be afraid to talk to your physicians about this. I think that just having that background as a nurse, sometimes changing a practice habit or something for a physician is something that's a pretty sensitive topic to discuss. But there's so much information out there. It's a really prime time to have the conversation and really move the needle within your organization or your AFC. So I would just want to strongly encourage everyone that's on the line and anyone that listens to this in the future, ask the question, and it's going to be helpful for your patients and your community.
Thanks, Carrie. And I think that's another great opportunity with the toolkit. It helps to have that discussion and, you know, it helps to facilitate maybe asking those questions, right? You know, what is, you know, how do we work together on a multimodal pain management plan? You know, where do we find the, you know, what's the least amount of opioids that, you know, we can prescribe to have successful pain management? And like Carrie said and others, there's all kinds of tools available and recommended, you know, dosages out there for specific surgeries. So I think it's the time is right to have these discussions and to, you know, take the lead in providing our patients with this information and our physicians and our clinical staff.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So with that, I just want to, I think we can wrap up. I want to thank everyone for being part of this webinar. Thank you for your interest in adopting the opioid sparing toolkit and all the tools that are available to you. A special thank you to Carrie Millsap and Dr. David Auerbach and Dr. Michael Stuntz for providing their experiences. And, you know, for those that are listening to this webinar in the future or those that are on this current webinar, please do not hesitate to reach out to CASA at any time if you have questions with implementing the toolkit or, you know, how to have success with this program. We're so proud that as an industry, the surgery centers have taken this upon themselves to kind of lead the way, and hats off to all of you. So with that, have a wonderful day. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.